For a limited time at McDonald's, get a Big Mac Extra Value Meal for $8. That means two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, and medium fries, and a drink. We may need to change that jingle.
Prices and participation may vary.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Ohtani, he flips the bat and watches it fly.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Chapman leaves the bases loaded.
How did they not score?
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, Bears wide receiver Romo Dunze. Coming up, Dancing with the Stars host Alfonso Ribeiro. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat in our green room with one of our favorites. Alfonso Ribeiro is back here. As always, just as cheerful as ever, without a doubt, hiding deep, deep down his disappointment that he's not on a golf course right now.
Right.
But other than that, just delightful to chat with him. America's Funniest Home Videos and Dancing with the Stars. Two, one would say, legendary tentpole shows to host for Disney. He's in our green room. We'll chat with him shortly when he comes on out here. I've got a top five list to hit in short order. Already had my power rankings. Already had a chat with Kurt Warner. Already just chatted with Roma Dunze. Also chatted with an 11-year-old from Iowa on his way to Chicago to go to game two of the wild card game for his Cubs.
He's never front been row, too, in the outfield.
He called in to say, if I get a home run ball, do I throw it back?
Here, I'm going to put up a poll.
And his... because that, well, I mean, that is, as you know, tradition.
There's a caveat, though.
If it's the home run ball from the opposition.
Yeah.
And I guess his father said, if it's Tatis, you keep it.
Yeah. There's a caveat.
I guess so. I mean, wouldn't that be also...
You'd like to be able to pay for college, too, so maybe that ball...
Right. And if it's Machado, try and throw it to the infield. Right? Is that what it is?
See.
Or maybe you just, you catch one from... PCA, and it's all good in the hood. You keep it. Yeah. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Dave in Brooklyn. Let's take Dave's phone call. What's up, Dave? How are you, sir?
Well, Rich, as we are on the eve of the, Day of Judgment, Yom Kippur, Shana Tova to you.
Same to you, sir.
I have to kind of mea culpa myself, where I spoke to you after the first game of the Jets season and said, silver lining. Maybe it won't be that bad. And I apologize to you and everybody who heard the call that it is so bad. And I really feel bad for Aaron Glenn because I think his hair has gotten
gray, like,
almost white. Not even gray. I think gray would be a nice thing. But right. That beard is going to like shrivel and fall off his face of the frustration. When you can't win with penalties, you touched on it yesterday. You can't win where Garrett Wilson is covered up. And just wondering, like, is this a rip the band-aid off type thing, dissolve the whole team?
No.
And Glenn really needs to find his quarterback because though Fields has shown brilliance, it's still missing a lot of things.
He's got to find his people, Dave. You know, obviously he inherited a team and he's got to find his people. Like I said yesterday, it's a very simple question. Do you want to play for this guy? Do you want to play for this guy in the New York metropolitan area or not? It's a very simple question. And if you do, then you got to focus more. Because that's what some of these penalties are about. Practice better, play better. And it's that simple because at some point you'll get cut. And in terms of how bad it is, if Glenn goes 0-5, he'll be the first New York Jet coach to ever start 0-5, Dave. But Tony Dungy started 0-5. I think Glenn actually mentioned that from his podium today that he's reached out to Dungy. And the guy whose staff he just came from, and it's kind of crazy that you look at the Lions and it's just like, how many, we didn't grow up in a world where everybody wants to be like the Lions.
No.
but Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn with Dan Campbell started 0-10. And nobody's talking about intent in Detroit anymore right
but
now.
Can the Jets make those cuts, though?
I don't know.
Can
yeah.
the Jets give him the power to cut the guys and cut the dead
they
weight?
They may have no choice.
Again, you saw that fumble. That's where the game went of, like,
yeah,
you
got
to hang out of the football. That's fundamentals of, like, if the Jets, if Woody gives him the because Woody's back, mm-hmm. if Woody gives him the tools and say, you can make those cuts, it'll be the first time the Jets actually have some, I guess, Detroit Campbell moxie to, you know, get off the knees to make those things happen where we haven't seen that in a while.
Dave, he does, like, again, and thanks for the call, Dave. I appreciate it, and Happy New Year to you, too. May you be etched in the book of life.
I like that, Rich.
Although mine is up in the air because, you know, I'll be working tomorrow. Mm-hmm. With how do you work on Yom Kippur with your in-studio guest, Charlie Sheen? But that said, listen, if they keep making these mistakes, Aaron Glenn's going to have no choice but to start cutting people. You know what I mean? Like, what else are you going to, what else is there? Yeah. Right now he's doing the right thing, which is, I believe in the guys. They're my guys. We just got to go back to work and do better. But I don't want to speak for the guy. I mean, he'll speak for himself. And in the meantime, if he's reaching out to Tony Dungy, that's not a bad resource.
Nope.
But again, Dan Campbell started, they were 0-10. How many people in Detroit are talking about 0-10 right now? Full Lutarski.
I forgot that until you mentioned it.
0.0. Look it up.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm wrong about it. Dan Campbell's talking about, I'm here biting kneecaps and we're going to take it out. And then when we're done doing that, we're going to do, you know, more Hannibal Lecter stuff. And everyone's like, okay, bud.
We're going to have a great day today.
You know?
That's what he's saying now.
Not anymore. I'm thinking he could be coach of the year and for good reason.
Rich, they were 0-10-1.
0-10-1.
Wow.
Okay.
2021, yeah. They were 3-13-1 that year.
So, Jets are maybe halfway to that.
Tied the Steelers.
They got too many talented guys. I am confident that, you know, they'll do their best to figure it out. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Disney Plus, ESPN, the app you can get everywhere, as well as ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I've got my top five most disappointing teams. We do this every year. Ooh, okay. As you know, I always look glass half full. Every now and then I just say, you know what? This is not going well, and this is a disappointment based on the record at the quarter post mark of an NFL season. There's still time to turn it around, turn that frown upside down, take a look at that glass and say, you know what? It's half full. Higher register is tomorrow. You know what? Maybe I will be in the book of life. All right. It's a top five most disappointing teams of the season. We do this every year at this point of the season, and it's presented by Hyundai.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right. You got 0-4 teams in New Orleans, but I think a lot of people expected that. An 0-4 team in Tennessee. They were first on the clock. But I am putting the Jets at five, being a disappointing 0-4, certainly based off of what the Jets put on film and put out there for everybody to take in week one, to take in Aaron Rodgers coming back and, you know, almost pulling that thing out. Would they be having a different record now? I don't know. I mean, the Bills still came in week two and beat them up to the point where Tyrod Taylor started in Tampa. And then we all know what happened there with a chance to, you know, win that game, but they lost at the very end as well. So they can look at this and say, we should be better than 0-4. And I think they've got a roster much more talented than that, with a coach who knows what he's doing. But I have to put them five on the list. Number four on this list is a team that I was talking about being a sleeper team going into the season. Whenever you finish a campaign on an upswing and you seemingly draft well, it gives you an opportunity to start faster the next year. And the Carolina Panthers are disappointing in that regard. You know, certainly after they shut out Atlanta in week three, they start 0-2. They're like, we're not starting 0-3. And as a matter of fact, the only O is going to be on the visitor's scoreboard. And then they give up 41 to the Patriots the next week. And they're 1-3, and we're now wondering if Bryce Young is the guy anymore again. and now Carolina's taking on Miami at home. I mean, this is it. Like, you've got to take in Miami when they just lost Tyreek Hill, and you just lost the way that you did. But the last time and only other time, by the way, that you've been home, you haven't given up a point. So now you need to make a point. And at 1-3, I'm a little disappointed. I thought they'd be showing out a little better, if not having a better record. Number three is the aforementioned Miami Dolphins. You know? The Jets turned it over three times and had 13 penalties. Three lost fumbles and 13 penalties. And had they gotten an onside kick, had Braylon Allen not fumbled the ball in.
Yeah.
But their defense made a play, so you got to give them credit for making a play at the end and not breaking, despite bending like Gumby.
Wasn't that their first forced turnover of the year, too, for Miami?
It's just been a brutal start, we all know. And now, you know, Tyreek's out. That's a disappointment as well. So not all of this is their own doing for disappointment. I'm disappointed for everyone there. 1-3, but they do have, again, Carolina next up. And then they're home for the Chargers. Maybe they catch the Chargers in a way that the Giants just did and get back in the mix. Number two on this list, I don't know how much more disappointing you can get than the Ravens starting 1-3.
Jeez.
Right? Yeah. And being as banged up as they are, I'm disappointed for them now. Lamar being out for 2 weeks. This is not what we're... I mean, you chose him to make the Super Bowl. And you are not alone.
I look great after three quarters of week one.
Well, 3.5.
Yeah. Look great.
And, you know, offensively, they've been sputtering a bit. Now Lamar is out. So they could turn it around by saying, we are talented, we're well-coached, we still have some great people in the locker room, but it's a tough go of it. But number one, the most disappointing team, and I understand that they have a better... They're not 0-4, but... Man, the Houston Texans just don't look right. They don't look right, and I understand Stroud just had a game in which he was efficient with a passer rating north of 125, and, you know, I'm still waiting for Nico Collins to come up with that monster game with two touchdowns involved, and just not doing it. I mean, we're still waiting on Tank Dell. The kid Higgins had a touchdown. That's good.
Yep.
Christian Kirk was hurt to begin with. Offensive line couldn't protect Stroud worth a damn in the first 3 weeks of the season. Defensively, they've been performing well. But 1-3 and being two games behind the Colts after 4 weeks is certainly not it. And so far, the Texans have kind of surprised me at being as mediocre as they've looked, to be straight up.
Agreed.
They're number one of the most disappointing teams so far.
You have one more. Sure. I did not know this.
You are surprised about one more.
I can't
more,
believe it. Okay. One more?
Do you think we need one more?
Ah. All right. One more. Clooney and Cooper.
It's a duel.
What a classic combination.
He likes the Clooney one.
I'm disappointed for this team more than any than in them. I'm putting the Bengals here at 2-2.
Ooh.
I mean, Burrow going down at the end of week two and now being out for maybe the whole damn season. Yes. The offensive line is just 100% so got to be hearing it in film sessions, got to be hearing it walking around the streets of the Queen City, got to be hearing it every single time they turn on a television set right now. Burrow hurt again. Jake Browning can't stand tall in the pocket. And when he does, you know, as Jordan Palmer points out, he doesn't miss. But as he also pointed out, you're not having a clean pocket every time. And so Jamar Chase is disappointed. The offensive line is disappointing. The defense has been torched the last two games when that's supposed to be better. They're still 2-2, but I'm disappointed for them more than disappointed in them. But that may change over the next few weeks. And that's my top five most disappointing teams list right here.
Now you're going to have like fantasy owners of any Bengals player. Like,
well, I mean, we could do that as well. Yeah. Let's go to Isaiah in Fresno before we bring Alfonso Ribeiro out here. What's up, Isaiah? You there, Isaiah? Okay.
Unable to deliver.
You there? We'll give you one last chance. Isaiah in Fresno. Put him back on hold. David in Fresno. Let's see if it's a Fresno thing or not talking to each other. David, you there?
Hello?
He's back. Hey. We're back. Fresno's
hey.
Back.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm just glad Fresno can hear us.
Yeah, right. What I mean.
What's up, David?
Yeah, I can hear you. I have a solution for the field goal, you know, like a field goal shootout.
Oh, for overtime, you're saying?
Overtime.
Field goal shootout.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. I'm in.
All right, let me bite here. David, so is there a rush on the field goal?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So we start out like a regular on the, you where? Know, like an extra point.
Where?
And we just had so 10 yards.
Back.
If whoever misses, you know, is out, whoever keeps winning, you know, making it. Is a winner.
Can you imagine? You have just given your heart and soul to this game. You are just left it all on the field, and now it's up to a kicker to
see,
kick
that's
the ball.
The thing. It's not
yeah,
up to
and
the kicker.
I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, so we have the best kicker. So
yeah, no wonder you're like, exactly. Okay, yeah. Great.
It's not just that.
Thank
it's,
you, David.
It's
Thanks David, for the call.
It's the line. It's the holder. It's not just the kicker.
No,
there's
but
a
it
lot,
still the, comes down to the once goes, if the operation goes well, somebody has to swing their leg through and make the kick.
Take it a step further. They should have to call their shot, like yeah. Name that tune. I'll start at 53 yards.
Yep.
And the next guy goes, well, 55.
Oh, so like horse?
Yeah. 57.
Right, you yes. Make it like horse, yes, which yeah. Is like yes. a trick kick?
No, they're just calling their shot. It's 68.
All right, Chris, then let's look at it this way. What if they've got to pick what pole to hit? You got to hit one of the two poles.
Come on now.
I mean, oh, like, you want a doink?
Now,
you want a doink?
Sounds like
these are better
David
ideas than ties.
Jumping frogs more yeah, than kicks.
Anything's better than a tie.
Ties Let's, are stupid.
You have to hit the right up, the right upright
yeah,
bar.
I like
for it.
It
to count. You got to hit the left. You
remember Corolla had the Adam pole?
Adam
he came
pole.
In here.
Right down the middle.
Right down the middle.
Bonus
maybe
points.
Maybe you lift that pole. It's so stupid. Play five more minutes. Play five more minutes.
And then what?
And then have a tie.
Well, it's still a tie, though.
Yeah, but it's still a tie.
5 minutes. It's a tie is a tie.
Ties are
tie.
Not.
I
to
understand.
Eliminate the tie.
I understand you want to eliminate a tie, but I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you have 7-on-7. Just like
yeah.
We take guys off
take
the
one
like
guy
you take guys off the
possession.
Ice in yes. In hockey.
Eventually, yeah. It could be
when
three
we do
on
that
three.
Hockey.
3-on-3.
3-on-3.
3-on-3. Quarterback, a wide receiver.
It's just so stupid. Give me five more minutes and see how it works, and then we'll figure it out.
What's 5 minutes going to do?
Give you two more possessions.
For you
three,
not to
four
score?
More possessions? I don't know. For you to score?
No, you still owe me a tie, man. I like our ideas better.
If with five, okay.
3-on-3.
I love three. How about pull fans out of the stands,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Fans
out of the stands.
Fans from each team have to play.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's see if we can get a minotaur and a bearded lady. Get out of here. You guys are, it's absurd.
Yeah, the tie's absurd.
Kicking contest is better music. Than a tie.
All right. 844-204-RICH is the number. Let's bring Alfonso Ribeiro out here.
He
said
he
it is
like
nonsense.
Ties, yeah.
You know, he doesn't like his nonsense.
He's not going to like ties.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, simulcast on Disney+. On ESPN, the app everywhere, and ESPN Radio, which is presented by Progressive Insurance, America's funniest home videos, and Dancing with the Stars, hosted by the same man, Alfonso Ribeiro, here on the program. Dude, you know, were these shows on the air when you were in Bel Air?
Well,
I'm just trying to put everything AFV together.
AFV started
yes.
Like a half a year before Fresh Prince.
Wow.
Dude.
So...
it has continued throughout, right?
Amazing.
Right, and this is my 11th season as host. Now, obviously, Dancing with the Stars was much later.
Right.
We're in season 34, but they also had two seasons a year for many years. So it's we are having our 20th this season. So it's the 20th year of the show. And it's incredible to think that these shows have been around this long. And right now, Dancing with the Stars is the most watched show on television.
Dude.
In all of network television, which is incredible to think about,
right,
that it has had such a surge in popularity. Our votes, the engagement is what's truly amazing, where, you know, we used to have somewhere between 5 and 7 million votes during the show. Last night, we had 39 million votes,
dude,
right? Wow. So to think about the engagement of our audience and what they've come up to is, it's unheard of. They just, you know, television, as we all know, on terms of the networks, are, you know, slowly every year, you know, you're gonna get a 6 to 8% drop in your audience.
Mm-hmm.
We've doubled our audience in the last 3 years. So it's phenomenal. We've got a great cast. The producers, Conrad Green, our executive producer, is incredible. I've got an incredible co-host in Julianne Hough.
Mm-hmm.
And together, we make great television.
Baron Davis, for the sports fans, is out there dancing right now. Well, has he survived?
He's not dead no more.
Oh, I'm sorry, I must have missed that.
He went after the he was the first cut. He was the first cut. Oh. Yeah, which stunk because
hell with him, man.
Because he was doing really well.
He's a sweetheart.
And you know, this is a very different season. We've got so many dancers that are really good dancers that normally that's not the case. You have like a few good and a few bad and some in between. We've got so many good ones that if you make one mistake,
it's over.
It's hard to come back from it because, you know, there's too many really great dancers. It was sad to see him go. And last night we had Lauren Horegi from Fifth Harmony. And I mean, you know, the internet is in an uproar. We were all absolutely shocked
that she got
last night that she was eliminated.
So Corey Feldman outlasted Baron Davis?
They were together.
Okay, so they went together.
They went together. We had a double elimination the second week. So yeah. I mean, you know, listen, Baron, we love you. We miss you. whenever you want to come back, I have seats. If you can't call the producers, I can get you in. I know somebody, I can get you in. And no, I'm just playing. But like, ultimately, it was really great. But even he said it, right? Like, he hadn't been off the couch in a while, right? And, you know, this season especially, I mean, people were in shape. People were coming. People were bringing it, right? We've got a lot of people who were dancers. And Baron was starting at ground zero.
Yeah.
And it's always harder if you're taller, right? Height difference makes a difference in your dancing.
Oh, no doubt. So what season were you on as a contestant?
I was season 19.
Season 19. Okay, so you being on as a contestant, I was thinking about this. When you were involved with the same karaoke competition I was involved in at the American Century Championship, and you stepped up there, and I'm like, this is not fair. It's not fair.
No, it's fair.
Definitely not fair. You're an entertainer. Like,
please tell me why what I did wasn't fair.
Because the fact that you were involved in the same competition as I was,
right,
singing, is not fair.
Two grown men doing what we do.
Hold on a second. Who else had an actual paying gig for this sort of thing later on that night in Tahoe after the American Century Championship karaoke? Who had a paying gig that week?
I mean, listen.
This sort of thing. Who did? Not me.
But you were new.
This guy.
You were new.
Over
you
there.
They didn't know
people
what you could bring yet.
Earned American dollars to watch you entertain them.
No, they didn't actually give me real money. They didn't give me real money. They gave me chips.
I mean, that counts.
They gave me chips to spend in the casino. We spent those chips.
Did you spend them, or did you use them to maybe enhance them?
We spent and then enhanced. Because, you know, I got skills, right?
Okay.
Just like on the floor dancing and singing, you know, when I go to a table, I very rarely lose. That's because I'm about to say something that I really shouldn't say.
Do it.
Right? Because, and I always do this to myself when I come on here.
Yes.
But like, I had a TV show called Catch 21.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Which was a game show.
We might watch that in the house with the kids.
That was involved kind of, it's basically blackjack.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Yes.
So you have an ability to recognize where you are in the game based on the cards that have already been dealt. Oh,
so did one catch 21 or did one
We caught some 21s and we caught some, you know, some double face cards and we also hit on some 14s when we knew the odds might have changed in our favor. I'm not necessarily counting. I'm just recognizing
ladies and gentlemen,
what is happening. So next year they probably won't give me chips.
The Rain Man of the American Century Championship. Who would have known?
Just saying, I see the cards when they come in. What, you know, there's a rhythm, you know, it's almost, it's like dancing, right? It's like dancing. You know, there's a, ooh, there's a six. Ooh, there's a five. That was supposed to be for the dealer to make his blackjack, right? But no, I got it. And I accepted one because I wanted to take a loss because I knew it would disrupt the flow. There's things that you can do in the world of playing cards in a casino, because I wasn't gambling, it wasn't my money.
Understood. Alfonso Ribeiro here. round of applause for that. Also, a deflection at the very end of the day of the fact that you have no business being in an amateur karaoke contest with people Kelsey's. No, you did not.
So
you did not.
Now,
you did not.
It was a pity win. They did a pity win this year.
Who did Ray Romano?
Did his sons.
He did Eminem, right? Didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, like, listen, Ray
is out his lane.
That's not, if you give him a mic with jokes, he's gonna kill it, right? Like singing and dancing, and that's not. But this year they were like, you know what we want to do? Because every year, this will be real for a second.
Please.
Every year I do it, it comes down to Travis Kelce and myself, right? So we almost go back and forth every year.
Yeah.
And every year I say that's not fair, right? Just like you're saying it's not fair.
Why is
it say it's not fair because American Century is in Kansas City. So now they're all the people voting are from Kansas City, and they get Travis Kelce to come on the stage and perform without hitting a proper note once.
What do you sing, Alfonso?
Huh?
What do you sing?
I sing different. I try to mix it up, right? So I'll do some Billie Jean with Michael Jackson. This year I did Chris Stapleton, Tennessee Whiskey.
It's great. And I'm sitting there waiting for my name to be called. I'm like, this is not right.
No, you got to sign up.
I did sign up. And I went up there and I crushed New York, New York.
I mean, crushed.
New York, excuse me. Crushed it to the point where Ray Romano strolled up on the stage. I handed him the microphone. He goes, I got to follow that. And then he went and won it with his sons.
He followed it.
He followed it.
I wouldn't say crush, but I would say he did it. It happened. It was there.
He did it and it happened. By the way, that's a much better way to describe my golf.
It did happen.
I did it and it happened.
And it happened.
It's a much more accurate way describing my golf game at the American Century Championship.
It's a wonderful way to find positive in things that typically have a dash before it.
A dash before. That's funny. I was T-88. There was a dash in there. You did tell me when I saw you and prior to the event, like, you're like, you're going to love it here. And it was unbelievable.
It is just the best event. The American Century Championship is
the winner.
You know, it is just the best tournament every year that we get to do. Orlando, the LPGA Tournament of Champions, the Hilton Grand Vacation Tournament of Champions, is also a great event. And it's great because it's like they're 6 months apart. So you get, you know, one in January, you get one in July, and they're a lot of fun. But the American Century being up in Tahoe is just an incredible event that we get to, like, enjoy golf with the fans, playing, you know, a great golf course with an incredible lake, great events, every night. It's actually it's spectacular, and they put on a great event, and I couldn't be more proud that I get to do it every year. You know, so I don't know if anybody, but I actually got engaged.
Oh.
In Lake Tahoe,
I didn't know that.
The week of the event. This is obviously, you know, many years ago. And most people give me a lot of credit for this because what I did was I was like, okay, my wife is not truly into golf. How am I going to keep her wanting to go to Lake Tahoe every year for this event and not be like, it's our summer. We should go to X, Y, and Z. I'm like, she's going to want to go to Lake Tahoe because we have to celebrate our anniversary at the place that we got engaged. It's very important. These are very important things that you have to do in your life to recognize how to get what you want and make sure that the people around you are also getting what they want.
Yes.
It's a, you know, I'm deeper than this. I'm deeper. Yes. I go next level sometimes.
Yes. And that's the way through love, she learns how to split eights against a four. If that comes up,
if it happens at the right time.
I'm just saying.
Right.
I mean, I didn't host Catch 21. I'm just assuming.
But I saw what you were throwing out and I was catching it. I was catching what you were throwing.
Alfonso Ribeiro here on the Rich Eisen Show. You're a Cowboy fan? Is that true?
I am a Cowboy fan. So I was a Jet fan growing up in New York.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And
Cowboys
back,
and Jets play each other this week, by the way.
And I'm excited to root for neither. but because I, you know, we're both going to lose. Let's just be real. Even whoever wins still loses in this world of these two teams. But
yes.
Growing up, you know, back in the day, if you were a Jet fan in New York.
Yes.
To be able to watch the games on TV, they had to be sold out.
That's right. Well, otherwise, they'd be blacked
right
out.
Right, blacked
sure.
out. So they were never on TV, ever. You never got to watch the Jets, right, in the 70s.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, I still want to watch football, so I would put on whatever the other team was. And of course, the Cowboys were always on.
Yes.
And I was like, well, I can't like the Giants. They're up against the Giants. I got to go for the Cowboys. This is perfect, right?
Yes.
So I became a Cowboy fan. And the funny story is my wife used to work for the owner of the New York Giants. And she was Tish.
Okay.
And so she was his flight attendant. And so she would take me to games every once in a while.
Oh.
And I would be in the owner's box.
Oh.
Clearly a Cowboy fan, hating on the Giants, and I used to call it opposite day, right? Where I had to display whatever I felt in the opposite way. So every time the Cowboys did something great, I'd be like, oh, dang it. And then, like, you know, the Giants would do something well, and, you know, and I'd be like, ooh, and I didn't, but it was opposite day. And then Steve came over and he said, you know, I have to admit this, I'm really enjoying watching, but Angela told me that you're a Cowboy fan. She was like, yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. So go Boys?
Well, the real Cowboy fan in the room is not having an opposite reaction. You're just showing your utter disdain for this entire subject matter, TJ, correct?
No,
is that what's happening right
I
now?
I get it because I think I told you guys once, I once sat in the Chargers box down in San Diego.
Yeah.
And as a guest of the Spanos, and I was told beforehand, like, you cannot cheer for
right.
the Cowboys. So I literally just sat, I clapped for good football. But
yes.
inside, it's like,
yes.
Is that what it was? Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how we do it.
Yeah.
But the second the game was over, we won, and I got in the, you know, in the little thoroughfare. Oh, man.
You was enjoying yourself.
I had 3 hours of obnoxiousness that I just let out.
Yeah. Oh, because
it
was pent up.
You gotta get it out. I had to let it out, yeah.
I understand. So, but, yeah, but this season is an absolute... absolute mess. It's we got a great offense, but it's a mess. You know, at the end of the day, like I always like to say, I'm a real Cowboy fan,
okay.
Not one of those delusional Cowboy fans, right? Where
I understand
you
that.
Just no matter how bad your team is, you still think they're the greatest team in the world.
Yeah.
No. I'm realistic, right? We keep doing it wrong.
Yes.
Right? Like, hey, we can pay Dak a lot less money if we pay him a year or two early. Nah. Let's make him the number one quarterback, highest paid quarterback in the league, and let's wait to the last possible minute when he's got us, you know, by a shotgun firing, and nope, we're going to pay him everything. Let's give CD everything at the, if we could pay him less or earlier and build an offensive line, why do that when we can wait to the last minute to pay him then? And then, hey, we've got our greatest defensive player that is probably ever played the game.
Since you're here in support of Dancing with the Stars,
yes.
as well as obviously America's Funniest Home Videos, what about instead of a tie in a game, at the end of overtime,
right?
There's a dance contest.
Yes. Hey, I'm down. I'm down. I don't mean,
let's get you involved here.
I don't know if any of the Cowboys can actually dance.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that, as we know, Emmett.
Well, if we're talking about
former winner.
Former, like, yes. But yes.
What I'm saying, I'm just saying is that football players have won the trophy.
Absolutely.
They've won the ball.
Yep, okay. Yep. Hines and Ward. So, there's been a few.
I will never forget the moment on NFL Network when I had Jerry Rice and Emmett Smith at a Pro Bowl. And I had to throw to break and continue the conversation on the other side. I said, when we come back, we'll talk about Dancing with the Stars with one person who won it and another one who did not.
Yes, yes. I'm sure that went over great.
In the commercial break, in the 4 minutes it took to come back, Jerry Rice stared 15 holes through me. I looked like a cheesehead during that commercial break. And he was pissed.
Yes, he was. He felt like he should have won his season.
So which NFL player that's currently in the league, if you could choose, doesn't have to be, you have to know if they can dance or not. You just want to see them. And it could be a big man dance challenge, which used to be an NFL Network commercial, which was very popular back in the day. What do you think?
I mean, obviously, you know, the Kelces would be fun, right?
Okay.
But not Travis. But
so you want Ed? You want his dad? Donna?
No. I was saying they left. He's no longer there. But last season would have been great. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who, you know, obviously we've had a lot of, I would just say my buddy. I would say, let's see Aaron Rodgers have to actually, it should be a quarterback thing where it's just the quarterbacks having to go. Because, you know, they put it all on the quarterbacks anyway.
Yes.
Whether they win or lose, they put it on the quarterbacks. Let's just make the quarterbacks have to dance at the end. Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think the rest of the world will go for this. But I think you and I in this room today think it's a great idea.
Well, you know, NFL teams, they would have their third inactive quarterback dressed for the game. Just for his dancing ability.
Well, absolutely.
That comes down to a tie.
Because,
you know what I mean?
Because the Giants aren't very good, they would have Maxim Shmyrkovsky be, you know, since he's a New Yorker.
Does he
be
fit on a jersey?
You know, they gotta double it up. It's really tiny letters. There's really tiny letters across. But you'd put Maxim Shmyrkovsky on there as the third string quarterback.
All of a sudden, why is he on the Giants roster?
Yeah, he could throw a ball, maybe.
What if it was, since we love the big man, what if it's the heaviest player, the two heaviest players on the team? Now they've got to go out.
It would have comedy written all over it.
There you go.
This works perfect. Then we just air it on AFV. See, I brought that back. We have a big man having to do the dance. We bring it back.
We weave it together. America's Funniest Home Videos, season 36, premiered this past Sunday. You can catch it on ABC, 7 Eastern Time, every Sunday. And new episodes of Dancing with the Stars air Tuesdays, 8 Eastern, on both ABC and Disney Plus, and both America's Funniest Home Videos and Dancing with the Stars can be streamed the next day on Hulu. Bringing all of Disney's families of networks together, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Absolutely. We're going to cut that piece where I talked about. We're going to cut it out. Cut that joke out.
All of Alfonso's takes on Micah Parsons will be removed. Happened. Good to see you, sir. Good to see you.
You too, brother.
You got it. That's Alfonso Ribeiro back here on The Rich Eisen Show to wrap up this Wednesday show in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show is one big happy simulcast. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Take the next step forward in your career with great benefits at an award-winning workplace. Apply at careers.com. Apply at careers.progressive.com. Again, careers.progressive.com. We are in our final segment of the simulcast with the Tigers and Guardians tied at 1, bottom 7, correct? It's getting really intense. Then first pitch of game 2, the Cubs can close out the Padres, or the Padres can force a third game in Wrigley.
Bottom 5.
Bottom five.
Bottom five.
Okay, thank you. It is also game two of Yankees Red Sox tonight. Red Sox can close out the Yanks, or we can get a third game forced for Thursday. And the Reds are trying to force a third game here in Los Angeles on the Dodgers. That's how it's all working in that respect. There's a video that's going on that won't work on the radio because Shedeur Sanders is pantomiming his responses. Is that right? Is that what's happening?
Why are we even asking him questions?
That's listen. You know how it's working.
I know.
You know how it works. His last name is Sanders, and everyone's going up to the, like, again. Did anyone go up to Jameis when Jackson Dart got the gig?
Not that I saw.
Right. Did anyone go up to the third stringer and ask them why is Carson Wentz getting it? You know what I mean? But it's different. It's different. We all know how Shedeur was born into this world and born into this league.
Yeah.
But it's also going to engender whether he's serious or not because he pantomimed his answers. So to our radio audience, just know the silence you hear is him mouthing the words to his responses to the questions.
I think you have to show to coaches just to have them have that belief in you that you can be ready.
What game you say?
How much has Joe been important to both you and Dylan in terms of your guys' like development to this point?
Okay, so he's mouthing the words and nothing's coming out. I understand I'm in my mid-50s, and I it's lost on me. If I'm just going to say this as well, you're going to be surprised. Don't real G's move in silence? I'm serious.
Like lasagna.
Like lasagna.
Yeah. They do.
Wow. And you said that. Who was sitting next to him at the Heisman Trophy?
Weezy F baby. Lil Wayne.
I could read his
mouth at the end. He said, "Joe's my guy." I did pick up on
Is he trying
to be funny?
I don't know. It's not going to be helpful for people who are trying to, tear him down. And it's not going to be helpful if you want to be, taken seriously in this league. It's not going to be helpful. It just won't. And even if he's trying to make a point that you're going to use words against me,
I think that's probably whatever,
you're still going to be criticized no matter what. Aaron Rodgers is age 42, and he's going to be criticized if he doesn't make the playoffs. You know what I mean? It just comes part and parcel with the territory of being a quarterback in the NFL. But, it's just not helpful for his cause. Just isn't. But I just don't know. I'm just trying to read into it.
Rich, you think maybe it's something like I'm the third stringer, like Chris said. Why are you talking to me?
But the reason why they're talking to him is because he's going to be next, one would think.
Well, he's not, though. Unless he's third stringer.
Well,
he's still not number two, right?
I understand that. But if Dylan Gabriel doesn't perform well, what, are you going to go back to Flacco? Or are you going to go to your other rookie? And I just, again, for those who are wondering, maybe he's not being elevated to this status yet. It's because he's not taking it seriously and he's not learning or he's not doing this. And I would be stunned if that's the case. This gives off the impression he's not serious. But, I root for him. They all do. But I do know real G is moving silence. Are you surprised that I knew that?
Well, I feel like I'm rubbing.
Rubbing
off.
We're hanging out a lot these days.
We don't, but
don't. Oh my God!
Ain't nothing but a G.
I don't have a barn for you.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.